Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study, a Thanksgiving study titled, Our Pilgrim Journey. This is part two of two.
But 1 Peter 2:11 is one of these passages I just love and I'm thankful is in the scripture. Read that with me. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And it's, of course, much more a wonderful passage, but we just want to look at it. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. In other words, you just are. If you're a Christian and you don't feel like you're a stranger or pilgrim, there's something wrong. Because you are. And sadly, some Christians become carnal and lose their focus, and so they don't feel at home or out of place. They feel at home, and they shouldn't. And so that's why it's important to read your Bible. You read your Bible, and you're going to come across this over and over and say, wait a minute, I don't feel like a stranger or a pilgrim. Well, there's something wrong there, pal. You know, amen? And so the Puritan pilgrims of our first Thanksgiving that we're commemorating, they paint a picture of our pilgrimage. I don't know. I don't think we learn much in school. Even homeschoolers I've talked to and my own kids, they didn't really get a lot of information about what happened leading up to that first Thanksgiving. And I think there were 100 and some, I can't remember the exact number, 100 and some people, and by the time the first Thanksgiving came around, there's only 50, 53, something like that, left. And it was a hard ordeal. What they don't tell you in school is the reason why there was so much death and everything was socialism. When they first came over here, they thought it would be a good idea if they just threw everything in together and said, you know, you work this land and you harvest it and bring it in and you do the same. And then we'll take the whole thing together and then we'll divvy it out. And to each according to his need. And there was no incentive. And so they had guys started drinking and wouldn't work. And so that's what always happens with socialism. I mean, the fall of communism was brought on largely because a huge part of the population became sloppy drunks on vodka because there was no incentive to do anything with yourself. Yeah. You weren't rewarded for hard work. And the people, what starts with is everybody works hard when they first got there. Then one guy just starts slacking off, and they're like, well, you know, well, he's slacking off, and he's getting the same amount we are. Well, then I'll start slacking off, and then everybody's slacking off, and then the amount of food you have starts to dwindle, and so there's less to give out. So then I'm saving some of the details because off the top of my head, I can't remember all the names and everything, but at a certain point, they changed their leadership, who then said, okay, this socialistic stuff, he didn't use these words, I don't think, but the socialistic stuff's over. Now, you're going to have your land, you have yours, and if someone has a legitimate reason for not being able to pull in enough food and everything, we'll help each other out. But by and large, across the board, you're going to keep what you grow, and then you're responsible. Yeah. Boom, things change. Yeah. But they don't tell you that kind of thing. And people always point back to the book of Acts. You remember at book of Acts, they had all things in common. And what did God do? Bam! Spread them out and put an end to it. God never told them to do that. You go look it up. They just took it upon themselves to form a Christian communist, what do they call them in Israel? Kibbutz. And you know, socialists, even like Karl Marx, he talked about how voluntary communes like that are a disaster. And he knew that. The only way for socialism to work is to have a gun at your head and you not have a gun. That's how socialism works. And it only works that way because then they thin the herd. And they start taking you out and shooting you in the head when you get sick. Or if they find out you're not, you make fun of or you complain or whatever, take you out and shoot you. Or like Stalin did, send you to Siberia. And so really the first settlement there and the first Thanksgiving is a lesson on how the Democrat Party agenda is a disaster. And if we follow the Democrat agenda, America will suffer.
Yep. Amen.
But if you become free trade capitalists, then you'll finally be able to have a Thanksgiving. And you'll be able to thank God. Now, it can't be godless dog-eat-dog capitalism. And that's where the problem in America today is. A lot of our capitalism is not based on a faith in God and a desire to please Him. And so that's why capitalism is suffering. There are some legitimate beefs against capitalism, but it's always a Christless capitalism. That's where they have their beefs. So if you've never read about the Pilgrims, you ought to take time to do so. And from time to time, we've shared with you information, but there's some good books and even a couple good documentaries out there you could catch. But this is an article I want to quote from as far as our mentality of Thanksgiving. A fellow named Jason Sarosky wrote this just a couple weeks or about a week and a half ago. He says, Thanksgiving is a time to reflect on the blessings we have been given in this turbulent world we call home, to give praise to God for all He has carried us through. We're not thanking the Indians.
Amen.
We're not thanking President Trump.
Amen.
We're not thanking Governor DeWine.
Amen.
We're not thanking anyone except God.
Amen.
That's what Thanksgiving is all about. Goes on, it is a day to remember those who are less fortunate than we, because those who are truly thankful are givers.
Amen.
That's what that's about. And to consider ways to be light and a helping hand to those in need. From the Pilgrims who first joined in peace, cooperation, and celebration with Squanto and the Native Americans, to George Washington, who appointed a day of thanks to, quote, the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation. End quote. Now, immediately the ACLU filed a lawsuit, and, you know, that's all history. To John Adams, who asked that we give thanks and pray to God, quote, that He would smile on our colleges, academies, schools, and seminaries of learning and make them nurseries of sound science, morals, and religion.
Wow.
End quote. And sadly, the liberals ruined all that.
Yeah.
To Abraham Lincoln, who solidified the last Thursday of November as a day of, quote, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation, end quote.
Amen.
And that's why we still celebrate the final, the fourth Thursday. Thanksgiving is and should be a special and unique time to give thanks for what we are blessed with, confess our sins to a loving God who is faithful to forgive our sins, ask Him to heal the wounds of our nation, and ask His peace and favor to be upon us as we seek to do His will in the coming year.
Amen.
I just thought that was a very good statement for Americans. If you're watching in another country, apply your country as you see fit. But all of us in every nation can give thanks to God for similar benefits. And finally, church history is about believers as pilgrims. One of my favorite church history books, and I'm not sure we have the copy. It might be checked out in our library, by E.H. Broadbent, The Pilgrim Church. And it's a great study in church history. Reality check. You don't feel at home in this life, you are right where you ought to be.
Amen.
And that's it. This world is not our home.
Amen.
Somebody just quoted that along just a few minutes ago. Who was that? You're reading my mind. I'm going to sing the praise book, number 28. We can have our musicians come up. We'll close with this song. We don't always sing a song at the end of our Wednesday studies, but it's the one way I can get Charlie to sing.
Amen. Amen.
Is that a joke about 45 minutes?
Yes.
What?
It's a joke about his
tardiness.
We understand. He's a hardworking man.
Amen.
And we appreciate the fact he makes the effort to come in. Yeah, this is a great way to send off for Thanksgiving.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me.
You don't know a person's heart. No, but I can hear what they're saying.
For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12:37.
I had a lady approach me just this weekend. And immediately I could pick up on it. There's something wrong with this. She complimented the video. Remember the lady in the book of Acts that went in front of Paul saying, "Oh, here come the man with the..."
the message of salvation from the Lord. And instead of Paul saying, hey, I want to hire you as my praise team leader. No, Paul looked and said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and a demon came out of her.
The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Acts 16, verses 17 through 18.
She had a devil running around praising the men who were preaching the gospel. And this lady, I could just tell there's something wrong there.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5:14.
And I'll apologize for it. Because when I'm dealing with somebody who has got a devil, or at least in their words appear to, I'm going to deal with them the way I'm taught to.
These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Titus 2:15.
You see, what most people want you to do is not imitate Jesus. They want you to imitate them. And that's what I was getting from this lady. I said, listen, I want, and I wouldn't say this to everybody, don't get me wrong, but I just knew there was something wrong. And I said, lady, you are the reason our churches are dying. You are coming after the preacher as he is trying to deal with people. And you are not wanting that preacher to act like Jesus Christ. You are not wanting that preacher to act like the examples of the apostles. You're wanting the preacher to act like a politician. You're wanting your preacher to act like you think they should act, and not the way the Lord thinks they should act.
Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10.
I said, it's people like you that are killing churches. Of course, the preacher bears the blame too, because he ought to stand his ground and tell her to take a hike.
After their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3.
Came back a little bit later and thought, I'm going to do a little investigation on this. I won't go through the whole thing, but then I found out where this woman was coming from. She's a believer in universal salvation. She calls herself a Christian, but she believes everybody's already saved. Jesus died and paid for all sin, therefore everyone's saved. Therefore, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, you can live like you want to. Doesn't even matter if you profess to be a Christian. You're saved.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1.
You better watch. I'm just telling you as an example, folks. When people don't want you to take a stand for morality, when people don't want you to stand against the murder of these unborn children, when people don't want you to stand against the sodomites, when people don't want you to stand for what's right, they have an agenda, and it's not God's book. It's not God's word. It's the spirit of the age.
Lucifer is invasion of the churches.